Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Sally O'Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate Radio. Today, my honored guest is John Burchelli, and the name of this show is Real Men Stand Up for Children. Well, if you see the photograph on this radio screen, you'll see a man standing with a banner that reads, "Unite to Save Our Children, Call for a National Moratorium on Vaccination Now." And a moratorium is a halt to vaccination now. This is quite remarkable. This man has Guillain-Barré from the Tdap vaccine, which would be tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis vaccine combined into one shot. They give it to children as diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, the whooping cough vaccine, and 90% of children who have whooping cough have been vaccinated against it. But, so the intent is to cause the disease they claim to prevent. I don't know why somebody's contacting me. It might be him. So let me see. No, I'm not seeing that. Hold on just a second, please. I am having an emergency. Oh, dear me. Okay. Well, he is, as I say, you know, he's standing with that poster. Believe me, that must have taken quite a bit of help and energy to get him upright and posing with the poster. He just said, "I am having an emergency, sorry." Well, you know, he has so many difficulties as a result of the Guillain-Barré that he cannot even call into the program. So, as I say, you see him standing up for children. He doesn't do much standing up, let me tell you. He's very in pain and discomfort and has quite a bit of paralysis. So, you know, this is such a disappointment because I really wanted him to weigh in. I've interviewed him previously, however, and what I will do is just post directly under the screen for this program our last interview together, and you'll get to hear his story firsthand because it's important. What's ironic about it, and you should know the irony, is that this man volunteered in the pediatrics ward of a hospital for Senator Richard Tan when he was being a pediatrician. He headed up the pediatrics unit of a hospital, and John Burchelli volunteered for 7 years there for him. Well, Dr. Richard Tan has gone on to introduce a bill to remove religious exemptions from vaccination in California. Just today, they had a trial or a hearing to overturn that. Anyway, Dr. Pan is now Senator Pan, and he's never visited John after volunteering for the doctor for 7 years since John has become just, you know, basically paralyzed and in great discomfort. He's never visited him. And how ironic is this entire scenario, you know? But this is not a man of ethics, this Dr. Pan, this Senator Pan. You could not, in good conscience, remove people's exemptions. You could not, in good conscience, knowing what's in the vaccines, inject them, period. But to remove the possibility of rejecting them from the citizens of California is just despicable. So I am going right now to contact Carrie Lewis, who came on my program recently, and she was on the steps of the federal courthouse in San Diego. Maybe she will weigh in and let us know what transpired. So just hold on for a second while I try to contact her. Okay, thank you. I will sing to you. Sha la 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 la, truly doodly doo.
boy. This is unbelievable. So, Carrie, where are you? There you are. Please call into show now at 2-2-2. Okay. John is not well, and I would like to hear happened at the federal courthouse today. Okay.
Okay, good. Hopefully she's at her computer and we'll get that message and call in, because I am very eager to get her input. So, you know, this is the problem so often with autism parents. Whenever I set a show to interview an autism parent, I know full well that I may be doing the show all by myself. And certainly it is not due to a lack of respect. They certainly know that I respect them, and respect is always a two-way street. So it's always because their life is not their own, and they have to adjust. They have, you know what, I'm going to contact Donna Knepple, because she just had a showing of Vaxxed in Long Island, which had a fire. No, it had a flood. No, I mean, come on. I am dying to hear the details from that. So let's hear what happened. She sold out, too. And lo and behold, wasn't the show canceled due to an emergency of questionable origin and conclusion? So let's see if I can reach her. Hold on. Donna Knepple. Okay. Call into show now if you can at 850-1578. John, GL has an emergency. Okay. All right. So now I've contacted two people who I was going to interview anyway. I wanted to get the information about what happened at the courthouse to overturn or stop SB 277 in California, which removes religious exemptions for children to go to school. And I wanted to talk to Donna Knepple about selling out the Vaxxed movie in Long Island in just a matter of over an hour before the show was to start, it was canceled. So that couldn't be worse. You know, I mean, how there are so few coincidences in this field of vaccination. They'd like you to believe everything's a coincidence, but the rare thing that is a coincidence, because there's so much malintent, you know. So I hope she gets my message in time, or Carrie, and can call in. But certainly I feel sad for John, because he would like to be speaking to you right now, and I was looking forward to interviewing him. But he's just, you know, not well. He's not well. And a lot of, he can express that. See, he can express that. All these little babies, all these children who could barely talk when they became disabled, they cannot express it. They bang their heads. They scream. They, you know, have erratic behaviors of any number of types. They cannot verbally express what's wrong. Fortunately for John, he can. And one of the things about the HPV vaccine that is a really backwards blessing, I say backwards because there's nothing to be thankful regarding the HPV vaccine and all the suffering that has transpired as a result of it. But the one thing that is the backwards blessing is that autism parents, for the first time, get to hear vocalized from the victims, they call themselves survivors, so I will call them survivors, of the HPV vaccine. They get to hear from people who are old enough. These children are, well, they're trying to lower the age to 9, but most of them are teenagers, and they can express how I used to feel and how I feel now. And mind you, I'm not saying that the adverse reactions are identical, but nonetheless, to have a clue, a window into what's going on within your small child that could not express themselves due to these older people, older children who can express themselves, had been an advantage for the parents of the very young who could not. So the whole thing is our national shame, the infant mortality rate that no one is reporting. They were talking about some alligator and a child in Florida, and I don't even know what happened because I thought, you know, whatever happened here, it's one child in an unusual circumstance, yet the thousands, maybe a million a day, I don't know how many children a day will never be the same again because they went to the pediatrician's office, you know? And nobody's reporting it. The censorship that surrounds this is enabling it. So censorship is the darling. Well, here's an interesting quote. Censorship is the darling of the thugs who are pushing this poison on our children. Quote me. Anyway, so, yeah, we have got a lot of interviews by at this point about why we need a national moratorium on vaccination now. I just finished interviewing Catherine J. Frumpovich, author of Vaccination Voodoo, and another book she just came out with, which I am dying to read. I said to her, do you want to wait 3 months for me to have time to read this book, or can we just let you talk about it? It's called Eat to Beat Disease, Foods, Medicinal Quality. Well, that was a great interview. But she started the interview by saying why we need a national moratorium on vaccination now. And Dr. Carley, who I am extremely worried about, I have not been able to reach her now for at least 3 days. Maybe this is the fourth day. They were cutting her off from every outlet. She reverses vaccine-induced diseases. And, you know, you can find her phone number at her website, reversingvaccineinducediseases.com. And so please do that and call her. But honestly, I don't know where she is. She has certainly been a target for a very long time. People who do help people are a target because nobody's supposed to be improved. People are just supposed to be managed, but not improved. And she improves people's well-being, her child having been an autistic child and creating a protocol to reverse his vaccine-induced autism. So anyway, thousands of people whose lives have been improved by her. And I guess, you know, she's a threat to the industry, so we got to get rid of her. She came on and talked about 100 dead doctors that GreenMedInfo or GreenMed.info a newsletter, a natural newsletter, had reported on. And so they have cut off her computer. They have cut off her off from her bank account. She couldn't cash a check there or even deposit it in a bank she's done business with for years. So she opened a new bank account, and they said that they couldn't cash it, and yet the person the check came from said it had already cleared. So they are messing with her big time, and I no longer get an answering machine when I phone her. She always had an answering machine. It's not saying it's disconnected, but there's no answering machine, and she's not answering. So, you know, when she told me, worry about me, she's a fighter. She's been up against the absolute worst kind of threats and results and involving every arm of this government, this poor woman, and to think that I can't get a hold of her after she told me, worry about me, needless to say, I'm darn worried about her. So I've called her 3 times already today and a couple of times yesterday and once the day before. So, you know, it's mounting. It's mounting my concern for her. And I'm hoping that it's just nothing. Wouldn't that be swell? But in all the years I've known her and I've interviewed her over 15 times, she's never said, worry about me. She's saying it now. So I'm paying attention. And I have left a message with someone who watches her animals to see if she would check up on her, and I hope to God she does. So I will follow up on that when I get off the radio show. I hope Donna or Carrie calls in at this juncture, but if they don't and John cannot avail himself due to his situation, no doubt a physical and or, I don't know, could be any number of things. These vaccines have so many adverse reactions, but I tip my hat to the HPV vaccine. I've never heard of so many adverse reactions in one child. But the DTaP is second, you know, and the DTaP is very serious adverse reactions. I have heard of one little baby who had a clean bill of health who became blind, cerebral palsy, a brain damage, liver failure, and those are 4 out of 7 severe reactions. So please take vaccine injury very seriously. Please take vaccine death very seriously as well. Our children are being poisoned, our adults too. Obviously, John is an adult, and you'll see his picture. You know, he's standing, but I guarantee you someone got him in that position in order to hold that banner, you know? And so how do you turn it off? How do you turn off worrying about something that you know the outcome from? My sister was severely mentally retarded. All of my life, I would throw a coin in a fountain, and my wish was to have normal children. Well, I am meeting all of the parents whose children are not normal, and it turns out for the same reason my sister was. She was vaccine injured, but my mother didn't figure it out till I was 50, and she in her 80s. And she figured it out by when I talked to her about all these children who had previously been promising. And what's interesting, what I have found interesting, is that the children who are autistic seemed in particular to have intellectual promise. They would be ahead of their counterparts. When children were counting to 3, a child who subsequently developed autism was counting backwards from 20. You know, so that's a child who has more problems, one would expect. My mother used to talk about my sister, who had very fine acuity and very muscle skills and all the indicators of a child who would be intelligent. And certainly, when she was institutionalized among 1,000 other retarded children, she was called the retarded one, okay? So she was very severe. And I've spoken to many parents who would tell me they were ahead of their markers. They were ahead of their, were accelerating beyond intellectually, in indicating intellectual acuity. And so that's interesting. Why is it that their minds have gone south more so than kids who are just kind of average, you know? It seems that all the ones who had tremendous promise are the ones who have fallen. Now, the accelerated rate of vaccine injury is happening in black boys. This is what the report says. This is not what my report says. This is what the CDC's report says. So are black boys more intelligent than others? This is my question. Or did they have more promise? Were they more on the ball? Just asking. So now the HPV vaccine. The HPV vaccine is affecting especially girls who are extremely athletic, like soccer players, competitive soccer players, competitive cheerleaders, competitive ice skaters and ballerinas, people who actually didn't just dabble in an after-school program, but, you know, were this was a the driving force in their life was sports and, you know, sportsmanship. So it's very interesting to see that the ones who really crashed after the HPV vaccine were the kids who were the most active. So having interviewed hundreds, maybe, you know, well, I've done over 1,000 interviews, but hundreds of just the parents, this is what I have deduced. This is my study. This is my scientific study. This is what a survey would be, right? This is a scientific study, and I'm telling you that the intelligent children have been brought down by the MMR vaccine, and the physically robust ones have been taken down by the HPV vaccine. So I didn't intend that study, but that's what's resulted. So, now, I have another friend, Lisa Papella, who has got Guillain-Barré from the flu shot. I know children who died from the flu mist. I mean, I just know every kind of scenario, and it's despicable. They know what's happening. They're turning a blind eye and a deaf ear, but they're not blind and they're not deaf. So I don't know what else to say, man. I'm just kind of going to end this show. It's my third interview of the day, and I'm kind of tuckered out. So I'm going to I wanted to wait to see if one of my friends could call in because I really would. Oh, I just got a message from Donna. I just got out of work. Do you want me to call now? Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Okay. I'll be on the bus. Yes. I don't care. I don't care if you're on the bus. Speak out. Let everybody on the bus know what's going on, you know? I hope she does call in because, well, first of all, I love Donna. I love all these women. We have so much in common. We all care about the same things. And, you know, she's a particularly lovely woman, though. But I know so many. This is the one thing they say about true disasters, which this is. This is a huge disaster. Vaccination has created untold numbers of disasters. Is that it brings people together? Well, that is the God's honest truth. It has brought me together with some of the most lovely people I could conceive of meeting. And these women are troopers. They're soldiering this tremendous burden all by themselves. And I couldn't have more respect for them than I have. All right, let me pick up Donna right now. Donna Knepple, thank you for saving me.
Hi, Sally. How are you?
Well, you know, we were going to have this conversation anyway, so we may as well have it now. John Burchelli is having some kind of a very lousy physical event in his life right now from the Tdap vaccine and Guillain-Barré. So if you would like to pick up the ball and tell us what happened, if you would, on Long Island for your vaxxed screening.
Well, Sally, we were all prepared for our vax screening on August 10th at the AMC Levittown Theater. We had a sold-out show of 118 people attending the vax movie that evening, and at 6:15, an hour and 15 minutes before showtime, I received an email that our screening was canceled due to an electrical fire in the theater and they needed to evacuate. So therefore, we were not able to see the movie and now are waiting for it to be rescheduled. So I'm in the works with Gather trying to get this show back in the theater so people could go and see it.
Yeah, an electrical fire. So there was smoke everywhere?
It was electrical fire. I called yesterday and spoke with the manager. I wanted to find out a little bit more detail to it. And I was informed that it was in an empty theater, because I questioned that. It was in an empty theater in the projection room. No flames involved. I guess that's very good, so no one got hurt. But that also makes one wonder if that was true.
Right. It is just fishy beyond words. And I have a feeling they're not going to reschedule you because you've spoken to them subsequently and they didn't talk about another screening date, did they?
Well, no, but I also called Anonymous. They didn't know I was the captain for the VAC screening either. And that goes through Gather and the theater itself. So time will tell what happens with our next date that I select. I also asked for a bigger room because I had at least 30 people who want to go and couldn't get in because our show was sold out. So I'm hoping
okay.
they can grant that.
Have you called them as no, you're dealing directly with the Gather people, GATHR, and what
GATHR, yes.
What information have they given you about rescheduling it? Because you realize this film goes on sale. And if you don't get your screening before it goes on sale,
correct.
Then that's not an asset.
Right. I don't even know what's going
to
happen. Right. You're 100% right. I haven't seen the email yet, but because I just got out of work, he gave me some dates. So I have to select what dates would work for me, and hopefully, well, the people who are going to attend the first show, they're going to be available for this one. So I honestly do not know how this is going to pan out because there's a lot of people involved. So, I mean, only time will tell what's going to happen here.
And I want to know, what do they normally charge for tickets at that theater? Because
but that's another good point. My screening happened to be $23 a ticket, and then plus the charges, it came out to $26 a ticket, which was unbelievable that I was even able to sell that out at that price. Because I've been looking in all the other cities, it's much less. It ranges like from $11 to maybe $15.
Right.
But the
good news
is we do have reclining seats.
I'm going to give a plug for my screening right now while I'm talking about this. September 12th in Forest Hills. If you go to the Gather screening, we're doing it September 12th in Forest Hills, Queens, which is right near the subway and the Long Island Railroad and between two airports. So you can even fly it. And Donna Kneppel will be there, the lady I'm talking to now, to answer questions. And we hope that you will come in force and ask her questions. She knows everything. Just like, how long have you been dealing with this scenario, Donna?
Yeah, living vaccine injury.
Quite
the nightmare. My daughter's 18, and basically it started after first month of birth. Hepatitis B set her off and just progressively got worse, but I didn't know what was going on until right around the MMR was when she had her first documented reaction.
Uh-huh.
It's been a very, very long time. I'm sorry, what?
They acknowledged that it was from the MMR at that juncture when you say her first documented reaction?
Oh, yes, I have it documented in a pediatrician chart notes. Yes.
Well, okay. All right, well, so often they will not make the connection, and I have heard that they are instructed to say it's anything but the vaccine. No matter what your child is suffering, even if it's on the insert to the package, that this is a typical reaction, they will deny that it has anything to do with the vaccine. So I'm stunned that a doctor actually stated that your child was having a reaction to the MMR. Stunning.
Well, I also think she probably did that because from the time my daughter was 6 weeks of age, she suffered from her first ear infection, and that just started ear infections, rashes, gastro problems, couldn't digest formula, and at not even 6 months of age, she had failure to thrive. She was not growing. So she has a very history from the infant day to the time a year, 15 months when she got the MMR shot. She was back in there within 7 days with a measles rash all over her body. So the doctor admitted that and said it was a reaction from the MMR shot. And she documented it. Unfortunately, though, it wasn't good enough for the NBCIP, and we were kicked out of that court after waiting 9.5 years.
I don't know if you saw what I just put up on YouTube, but this is really important. That, tell me how much they've awarded since 1986. Is it $3.6 billion, something like that total?
I don't know the statistics, but I know it was a lot, yeah.
Okay, well, what I have heard is that it's $3.6 or $7 billion total. Do you know that that's with however many vaccines over the course of 30 years, okay? I've been on Watch 60 Minutes, and in one vaccine campaign for the flu shot, they paid out $3.6 billion just for one shot in one campaign. Now we're talking 30 years total, and multitudes of shots, and the same amount. And we're talking also, in terms of the flu shot, in $1970. So that might be more like $7 billion, you know?
Right.
So they've actually paid out more on one shot in one campaign than they have in 30 years and all these
I'm
shots.
On a... Right. It's crazy. There's no words to what they've done.
No. No.
The harm they've caused, the destruction.
Well, let me ask you then. Why, Donna Knippel, autism mother, should we, do we need a moratorium on vaccination now?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Are you there, Donna? Oh, dear. She may have hit a...
I'm sorry.
Are you here?
Now I can hear
I'm you. I'm here, yes. Okay. The question I was posing is, why do we need a moratorium on vaccination now?
Because they're killing innocent babies. They're killing people who are not aware of what is in these shots. They're going in blindsided, and then they're being damaged, and no one cares. And it needs to stop.
Yep, well, that pretty much says it. Good enough. Seriously, that's it. We don't have to say more than that because that is the bottom line. They're killing our kids. It's being covered up. And, you know, all the money in the world can't bring back a dead child.
Correct.
So, and also, all the money in the world can't bring back an autistic child sometimes. You said your light returned to your daughter's eyes. Thanks to Dr. Curley. Well, let me tell you, Dr. Curley is missing for 4 days straight. I cannot find her. She told me to worry about her. She said, you better start worrying about me because they are messing with me big time. So,
really?
Now I'm seriously worried about her. Yes.
Wow.
4 days, I have not reached her.
And that's very unusual, right?
Completely unusual. She's always there.
Well, I hope she's all right.
Me too. I couldn't leave a message for her because her tape machine is not on, and that's unusual. You know, everything about this is very peculiar. Yep, I don't like it.
Do you know anyone who lives near her?
I left a message with a woman who checks in on her animals. I left a message for her. I'm going to call her again later tonight and then I know one other of her friends who may have been in contact with her.
All right. Hopefully everything's okay. Definitely keep me posted on that.
Well, what I said to her is, I can't. You are irreplaceable. It's not like, I mean, it's beyond the fact that you're a good woman and a brave woman and a helpful woman. You are irreplaceable. You know, when I say to someone, go to reversing vaccine-induced diseases, I know they're going to get help. You know, it's great because I don't want to just scare people with the truth.
Right.
I want to say it's too late for your kid. There's something you can do. And with assurance, know that their child will improve. I have now I'm just a big fat scare tactic out in the streets, you know, if I have nobody to send them to improve their health.
Mm. I just hope she's okay.
I do too, obviously.
It's very scary.
Well, she said that she read in Green Med Info that they had knocked off 100 holistic doctors.
Right. Right.
And they are sent her internet. They are rejecting the checks she tries to deposit. One bank said that it didn't clear. And the person who wrote the check said that it's already been taken out of the account. So all of this is a bunch of questions.
Wow.
Huge questions. Yeah, right. So they're like attacking her on all fronts. And so I am not sitting here quietly and not letting the world know that they are.
Right, right. It's terrible.
So anyway.
Some free country.
Well, you know,
right?
it's yeah, right, exactly. They want
so much for being protected, right?
Alive. The walls are coming down, and it's not because of all the education you have put out there or I have put out there. It is because people finally figure it out. I spoke to a woman who has 4 autistic grandchildren. And each and every time the doctor said, oh, it couldn't be the vaccines, oh, no way, no way, no way. Finally, the 5th grandchild was spared because they stopped believing the lies. This is
right.
How ingrained the trust is. This,
right.
This man is a doctor who is here to help my child. Now, you wouldn't lie to me about something this serious. And meanwhile, they're not vaccinating their own children. So, yes, he would.
Right. You know, we're just all brainwashed into believing that the government really cares about us and they're protecting their citizens from harm. But unfortunately, that is very far from the case. They've been bought and they could care less about us.
Well, one person said, when it starts to infiltrate their families, eventually
mm-hmm.
it will hit them. There are 500 members of Congress. I can't, and the rate is 1 in 45 for girls, 1 in 25 overall for boys, autistic. It's not just Senator Burton, you know?
Right.
Senator Burton was outspoken, and God bless him for being outspoken
right.
in the face of pharma. But
yes,
I
followed him for years. He was a big help back then.
Right, and he had that video. I presume that was his own grandson just running around in circles and hitting his head and wearing diapers.
Mm-hmm. So
he was
sad.
An older child, like 7 years old, in diapers,
mm-hmm.
and running in circles and hitting his head. You know, this is what the vaccination left his grandchild with. And how much of your time has been spent on one child, you know?
Mine? My the whole since you've been born, almost. I mean,
mm-hmm.
little after, I would say maybe around 4 months of age is when it all really started coming down, and I didn't realize, and up until, I made a timeline. I received all of her medical records. I made a timeline. I mean, it's evident what's happened to her. Since 6 weeks of age, they were giving her shots. She was always on antibiotics from that moment on, pretty much. She was chronically ill. And failure to thrive, that my sons were young at the time, and they lost their mommy. And it was very difficult for them, too, because I wasn't able to be the coach of the baseball team, the PTA mom, their friends, no more sleepovers. I mean, they lost everything because all I could do was take care of my daughter who was chronically ill and go to doctors. And then when she was, you know, in early intervention and therapists coming to the house, I mean, it's a nightmare. Then you're in the patient preschool program and you still have therapists coming to your house, and then you have all these meetings and they're fighting you because it's not about helping your child. The name of the game is saving the money for the system you're in. So they're not there helping you. They're trying to save the money. So everything's a fight, a struggle. And then the divorce happened in 2000. Well, the separation happened in 2005. And from that moment on, I've been like her sole caretaker. It's just been me and her. And I've been her therapist and you know, her advocate, her biggest advocate. I fought a school district. I didn't want to. I had no choice. You know, and they're nothing but control and bullies.
You what? Her school district? You what?
I fought her school district for appropriate placement for her. And it was horrendous what they did to both of us. What they put me through unnecessarily, the amount of taxpaying money they spent unnecessarily, I don't even have any words for it. I spent $75 a week for the past, I don't know how many years, on all of our legal records, from vaccine court, all of her medical records, school records, my divorce. I mean, it's crazy the amount of boxes and papers I have, all because of my daughter's vaccine injury.
You should be a paralegal, I mean, at least.
I mean, I was forced to write my own petition to the answer because I prevailed in the due process hearing, and they fought it. And then I had to, my lawyer didn't stay with me, and I wrote my own answer to petition, hired outside lawyers after me to stop me. I'm like, I've already lost everything. I have nothing to lose now. I'm not stopping. My daughter needs a certain placement, and that's what she's going to get. And I'm not stopping until she gets it. And that placement changed her life.
How so?
When she was in the public school district, she was getting bullied. People were making fun of her. Parents wouldn't let their kids play with her. She realized that she was different around in the fourth or fifth grade from the other kids, and she was not able to do the work. She was not able to keep up with the work. They tried every classroom possible, and they, you know, it's not their fault. It's not like they're bad people. They just could not teach my daughter. They couldn't do it. And the curriculum, the teaching mythology, New York State has a different type of teaching mythology that she couldn't learn from. And she had to do state tests, and all she did was fail, and all she did was cry. And emotionally, she was a disaster. And the school district paid for and sent her out to a psychiatrist because they tried every type of classroom possible for a child with autism, a special self-contained class, an inclusive class, a regular ed class with an aide. They tried everything. Nothing worked. And finally, a psychiatrist said what type of placement she needed. I found that placement. They denied it because it was a non-approved school. And I fought them because that's where she needed to be. So when she went there, they built back her self-esteem. They showed her that she can learn. She does have the ability to learn. She can do well in school. She can have friends. They had built-in related services. So therefore, she didn't feel different being pulled out of the classroom from the other kids. Everything was built in, her needs were met, and she just was so happy and was doing wonderful there until I got sick and I had to move. And then we lost the funding, and now she's back in the public school district, still struggling to pass those state tests because she can't do it. However, the one